Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Baruch Hashem. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shalom uvracha. Blessings and peace in Yeshua's wonderful name. It's a joy to be here today to see you all here. And it's a joy to speak to the multitudes, the millions and millions of people that are out there in Zoom land. We miss you. We wish you were here. And we know there's going to be a time when that happens. Today is Shavuot, and this would probably be the day that I would share a message on Shavuot. And I'm very conflicted on what I should share. But for those that are interested, you can go to ShekinahMessianic.com, and you can hear the message that I shared yesterday on Shavuot. I think it would bless your hearts. And I think you will be blessed by that. So I would ask you just to listen to that message. It should be up this week, ShekinahMessianic.com. But today, I felt the Lord confirm to me what I should share on. As I was driving here this morning, the person who was speaking on the radio was talking about the scars. And several weeks ago, I was at a prayer meeting at 6 in the morning on a Saturday. And this brother was saying how he had scars on his lungs. And it really touched me. And I said, you know, I've never heard a message on the scars. So today, I'd like to share with you a message. And I call it, Thank You, Yeshua, for My Scars. And I believe today that God is going to touch you by the power of His Ruach HaKodesh, His Holy Spirit. We've all been hurt. We've all been wounded. And we all have scars, some more than others. So today, I believe today is going to be a day of deliverance. Today is going to be a day of victory. Today is going to be a day of deliverance where God is going to deliver you. And praise God, I believe you're going to see Yeshua the Messiah in a totally different way. If you could turn to your Bibles and to Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. Galatians 6, 17. It says, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the scars of the Lord Yeshua. Galatians 6:17. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Yeshua. Now, scars are a reminder. And that was another thing this morning. We had a song about remembrance. And then we had communion. Again, remembrance. Do this in remembrance of me. So I just felt that the Lord was confirming to me the message that I should share today. As I said, scars, they are a reminder of something. And the most of the time, a scar reminds us of something unpleasant. Scars are not unusual because there are many people who have scars all over their body. And for every scar they have, it indicates that something has happened to them. Something bad has happened to them. Most of the scars that we receive are from something bad. And when you receive a particular scar or mark on your body, it is there for a reason. I'm so often thought that God would make our flesh, but He would make our flesh so that it would not scar when it is torn. For example, the tongue has a certain type of tissue that does not scar when it is torn. In fact, the tongue does not have scar tissue. I don't care how many times you bite your tongue and hurt yourself with your tongue. God has fixed it so that the tongue can virtually repair itself. And when it does, it leaves no scar. However, the only scar that the tongue can possibly leave is when you use your tongue to speak against your brother or your sister. It doesn't leave a physical scar, but it leaves a scar. What are you saying, Marvin? I'm saying, however, the only scar that the tongue could possibly leave is when you use your tongue to speak against your brother or your sister. It doesn't leave a physical scar, but it leaves a scar. And almost every one of us have some sort of physical scar on our bodies, perhaps from sports or surgical cuts, war wounds or accidents. But when the emotion, but what about the emotional scars? All scars are not physical. It's easy to see physical scars and wounds, and you can see it if they are old or new, or whether the wounds need to be stitched by a doctor, or whether the use of a Band-Aid would be enough. But emotional scars and scars that are not easy to detect. Some emotional scars and wounds are in desperate need of treatment, but have been ignored for many, many years. As I said, some emotional scars and wounds are in desperate need of treatment, but have been ignored for many, many years. Ignoring these types of scars and wounds may result in serious physical damage. It's important to not only recognize when you have emotional wounds, but also know what is needed to heal the hurt. Now, many of us hold on to situations, circumstances, and thoughts, and mindsets, and trauma long after it's been obvious we are being still damaged, long after the event has occurred, long after that, all because scars are like that. They are reminders of something unpleasant. They are reminders of hurt and pain. And they are reminders of our trials and our tribulations. And sometimes they are even reminders of sin in our lives. What are you saying, Marvin? I'm saying many of us hold on to situations. We hold on to circumstances. We hold on to thoughts, mindsets, and drama. Long after it's become obvious, we are being still damaged. Long after the event has occurred, all because scars are like that. They are reminders of something unpleasant. They're reminders of hurt and pain. And they are reminders of trials and tribulations. And sometimes there are even reminders of sin in our lives. Scars remind us that sin is painful. I said, scars remind us that sin is painful. Ask any doctor, and he or she will tell you that the scar does not always appear at the moment of the event that caused the scar. Sometimes it takes a while to make its a scar to appear. When it comes to sin, it does not always scar at the time of the sin. Sometimes it does, but not always. In fact, some people bear physical scars. Scars that you can see that were direct result of sin, like the gangster who loved to show off his bullet wounds or his cuts from a knife fight. Because of his way of thinking, it was documented proof that he is sure enough a gangster and worthy of membership in somebody's gang. Physically, there are ways to cover up or hide their scars. You can apply makeup, for example, and there are various makeups available on the market that can hide a scar. There's even a product on the market that promises to rid you both of your old and your new scars. If you're really serious, you could have cosmetic surgery that may offer a more permanent solution. However, sin always leaves a scar, and all our sins are known unto God, and sometimes they become known to many others. I said sin always carries a scar, and all our lives are known unto God, and sometimes may become known to many others. The scars of sin for our life, and the only way to prevent the scars is to prevent the sin. There is no makeup available, nor is there any cosmic surgery. When it comes to the scars of sin, Yeshua the Messiah is your only answer. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes it shall have mercy, but consequences remain. I'm going to say that again. When it comes to the scars of sin, Yeshua the Messiah is your only answer. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes it, God will give you mercy. Our God is a merciful God. Yes, there are consequences, but God is merciful to each one of us here. In other words, he is merciful, but he will also leave you a reminder of your sin. Scars, physical scars, on the outside are one thing, but the scars, both emotional and spiritual, on the inside are something else. In fact, the inward scars are much more serious. These inward scars usually do not come until much later in life. The inward scars may not affect us, but can affect those who love us, who we love, and give us more reason to seek God's help. I want you to know today that we need God's help. And I want you to know God wants to help you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to wash you. He wants to renew you. He wants to restore you. He wants to bless you. And he wants you to be drawn into his presence and have a wonderful relationship with him. There are some things we would love to forget, but scars will be there forever, serving as a constant reminder. As painful as these may be inwardly and outwardly, actually, they do serve a very special purpose. Scars remind us not to make the same mistake again. I said, scars remind us not to make the same mistake again. Scars remind us, as I said, not to make the same mistake again. You've heard it over and over. It's said that we learn by our mistakes. In other words, it's not so bad to make a mistake as long as we don't do them over and over again. And God uses our failures to make us stronger. I said, God uses our failures to make us stronger. Theodore Roosevelt, who was a president of the United States, he said, the only man who never makes a mistake is a man who does nothing. The only man who never makes a mistake is a man who never does anything. Edison spent more than $100,000 to obtain 6,000 different fiber specimens, and only three of them proved satisfactory. Each failure brought him that much closer to the solution of his problem. His friend Harry Ford was right there when he said that failure was the opportunity to begin again more intelligently. For sure, the mistakes that we make in life are like scars. They're reminders to not tread down that particular road again. We should never keep looking at our scars physically, emotionally, or spiritually as something ugly and insightful, and decide that it is too late. Psalms 37:24 says, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. The Lord wants to uphold you. The Lord wants to lift you up. The Lord wants to touch you today and deliver you today. And we need to let our scars remind us that the mistakes we make are worth learning from. I said the mistakes that we make today are worth learning from. Yes, the Lord will remind us of the ways and the manner that we received our scars. And yes, at times they are physical and actual places where the skin was torn. He even allows us to observe the healing process by letting the scar tissues form. Think about it. He didn't have to do it this way. He could have made it that once the skin is torn, it never heals and automatically becomes infected. Any good medical doctor will tell you that an infected wound is very, very serious. Any break in the skin lets in dangerous bacteria and infectious organisms set in. But God gives us physical healing process that we can even see for ourselves. And he also gives us emotional and spiritual healing process to assist us with the scars of life. I know that the scars of life are difficult to deal with, but we try to move on. Sometimes those same scars seem to hinder us in trusting and loving ourselves, and even worse, trusting in God. You know, we tense up and become fearful and allowing ourselves to love and to be loved. Is that you? People want to reach out to you, but you reject them because you've been hurt so bad. You have those scars. I'm not going to trust anybody anymore. I've been wounded so many times. I have so many scars. I'm just going to give up on people. Don't give up. Give in. Give in to the Lord. Give in to the Holy Spirit, who wants to do a work in your life. You know, sometimes those scars help us, for they remind us to stop and think about what we are doing, to not make the same mistake again. But if we view it in the way that Paul does here in the text, as I shared before, we will come to the conclusion that God will not ask us to look over your resume. He will not ask you, what kind of experience did you have? He will not ask you about the congregation or the church that you attend, and who is your pastor and how popular that he is. He will not look for to see if you have any medals or degrees or diplomas, but he will look at your scars. I said Yeshua the Messiah will look at your scars. Scars remind us of our purpose. I said scars remind us of our purpose. And here's how I believe Paul viewed his scars. Paul, he knew that the Messiah suffered for him. Therefore, Paul was willing to suffer for the Messiah, and suffer he did. He bore as much as any man or woman had for the Messiah. In 2 Corinthians 11, 24, 25, we read, of the Jewish people, five times received I 40 stripes but one. Three times was I beaten with rods, and once I was stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck, and a night and a day have been in the deep. Can you imagine how Paul's ugly scars must have looked after this? If you just looked at his back, you would see the scars. If you looked at his front, I'm sure you would see scars. However, despite the physical appearance, these scars served a purpose. His scars preached a sermon. His scars told a story that no one could deny. His scars represented the fact that all things work together for the good for those who love the Lord. Isn't it amazing that the only God would choose to turn our ugly marks, our ugly scars of our trials and tribulations into a badge of honor? Now, there may be a trial in your life today, and you just don't understand. You just don't understand why the fire, why the flame. You don't understand why the fire, why the flame. You don't understand that. You don't understand why the fire and why the flame. Remember Job. He didn't understand that either. And he lost more than any man or any woman would ever lose. But his endurance, despite the wrong counsel of his wife and despite the ill advice passed out by his so-called friends, despite of the devil releasing his hounds to buffet and batter Job at every turn, Job endured. Job endured. I'm going forward. I don't care what trial or tribulation I'm going through. I don't care about the scars of life in my own life. I'm going forward. I'm not going backwards. I've seen too much. Yes, the cross is before me and the world is behind me. I have nothing in this world that I desire. Oh, my only desire is to get closer to him, to know him in a more intimate way. And I thank God for the scars that have been in my life. I thank him for all the hurts, all the pains, because it's drawn me closer to him. And I want you to know, he wants to be drawn closer to you as well. Despite of the devil releasing his hounds to buffet and batter Job at every turn, Job endured. We are overcomers. You are overcomers. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And praise God, for every test, there is a testimony. For every mess, there is a message. God loves us. And God is going to turn those situations around to show you how much he loves you. The scars of Paul's body were branding marks of the Messiah. I said the scars of Paul's body were branding marks of the Messiah. And just like cattle, there was a time even when slaves were branded on their flesh in order to show ownership. Their bodies bore scars to identify just who their master was. And so here is the point. Paul had subjected his body so much, and he suffered so much persecution in the name of Yeshua, his Messiah, until his body was scarred up by the opposition. And yet he stood, he still stood and proclaimed the grace and the mercy of God. No matter what he endured, he still proclaimed the grace and the mercy of God. And along the way, there were people who challenged Paul's credentials. Mind you, there are people today who will try and do the very same thing to you. You know, I once ran into a sister one day who had not seen for many, many years. And instead of saying hello, her first question to me was, "Are you still preaching?" And my response to her was, "Are people still sinning?" She didn't answer. She just looked at me for a moment and went on her way. However, although I'm a very sensitive guy, I believe she was trying to say that after receiving my scars, that I should have given up. I'm not going to give up. That's not in my nature. I'm going forward. Yes, the world wants you to give up. It's just a fad. You're just into this for a little bit. You've been influenced by your friends. You know, after a while, you're going to get tired of it and you're going to go into something else. I'm not giving up. I'm going forward. You know, this sister reminded me of Job's wife, who suggested that Job would simply curse God and die. And my response is the very same thing to her. "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" It says it rains upon the just and the unjust. In every situation, the Bible says, in every situation, give thanks and praise unto God. In every situation, something good is going to happen. I praise God. I praise God, whatever situation I'm in. When I'm starving, I thank him. It's very rare. But when I'm starving, you know, I thank him. And when I have food and I'm feasting like yesterday, I thank him. In everything, give thanks. When my wife died, I thanked him because I knew it was God's will to take her. And God used that situation to bring me here to Canada. In everything. My doctor said, "Are you mad at God? You must be mad at God." And I said, "No, I'm not. I knew it was God's will." He says, "In everything, give thanks." I may not understand it at the moment, but down the road, God showed me. I'm here. I wouldn't be speaking to you today. I'd probably be on the beach drinking an iced tea, looking at the waves, you know, maybe try my thing on try to surf. God help me. You know, God help the whole world. Big tidal wave when I fall. You know, the minute I received my very first scar, I should have, you know, the world would say I should have taken my ball and go home. No. I know there are people out there who just want me to shut up. Hopefully you're not here today, you know, but there are people out there in the world who don't want to hear it from you. "I don't want to hear about Jesus." Well, that's too bad, because that's all that I know. I know nothing else but Jesus. That's all I can tell you. You know, they wanted Jeremiah to shut up and they wanted him to be still. But Jeremiah said he did not place the thought into consideration. But he concluded that he couldn't do that because the word of God was like a fire, all shot up in his bones. It was like a fire. Praise God for the fire. I have fire burning within me. And I challenge you today. Oh, Lord, send the fire right now. Oh, Lord, send the fire right now. And mikvah, baptize everyone in the fire of the Ruach HaKodesh. Praise God. Lord, I'm believing for an upper room experience here, that we would be baptized, mikvah, in the Ruach HaKodesh, in the fire of God. We need the fire of God in these wicked times that we're in. We need the fire of God. And I challenge you today, oh, Lord, send the fire. Let that be your cry. Let that be your hope. Oh, Lord, send the fire. I need the fire. You know, Jeremiah couldn't help but speak to God. And this is symbolic of those who bear the scars of Yeshua, the Messiah. I've been beat up for the gospel's sake. Glasses broken. They tried to deprogram me. You know, they said that I was brainwashed. "Marvin, you're brainwashed." And I said, "No, Rabbi, I'm bloodwashed. And praise God that I'm washed by the blood of Yeshua. You know, we have the scar, I have the can't help it. No matter what Satan throws my way, God has been so good to me, I just can't help it, and I'm willing to bear the scars. Whatever comes my way, well, whatever scars, I am willing. Hineni, here I am. Do as you will. I am your servant. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to praise you. And just like the gang member I told you about earlier, we don't mind displaying our scars like a badge of honor. Why? Because they are a badge of honor. Your scars are a badge of honor. Our scars are documented proof that we are indeed worthy of being called a child of God. Go ahead, just look at the lines and marks on your journey. The common wisdom calls them ugly reminders, but in the light of God's purpose, they are beautiful trophies. We all have beautiful trophies, and God has a purpose and a plan for your scars, and he has a plan for you. I said, God has a purpose, and God has a plan for your scars, and he has a plan for you. He's not giving up on you. We used to sing a song, I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before. I want more of his rich, sweet love, so rich and fresh and free. I want more of Jesus. I'm going to give him more of me. Hallelujah. Give Yeshua, give Jesus the Messiah more of you. Take all of me, Lord, not part of me, Lord. I don't want to sing the song, I surrender some, but Lord, I surrender all. All to you I surrender. Hallelujah. Forgive me, I get excited. The Bible says that God knits us together in our mother's wombs. You see, we have scars to remind us every day just how much God loves us. Do you have scars today? Do you have emotional or physical or psychological scars because of circumstances or situations? Yeshua had some scars. When Yeshua rose from the grave, Thomas needed proof. He didn't see the scars in Yeshua's hands and on his side. These scars became part of the fabric of evidence to prove that the resurrection was not a rumor or a figment of his imagination brought by grief and denial. The resurrection was real. To Thomas, that what the scars of Yeshua meant, that the resurrection is real. Because the resurrection was real, it was documented proof that we suffer with him and we have victory through him. Praise the Lord. If you have any scars today, praise the Lord, because he's given you means to show you the world, to show the world how he takes care of us and heals us through any means he chooses. What do you say, Marvin? I'm saying if you have any scars today, praise him. Thank him for the scars, because he's given you a means to show the world how he takes care of us and how he heals us through any means he chooses. My first closing. Yes, we've been hurt at one time. People have criticized us and spoken evil about us, even people who belong to our congregational family. And through the years, we have developed such scars because of it. And yes, some scars are a result of sinful choices that we have made. But remember, when God forgives sin, he forgives it all. And the scars that remain are not to remain to remind us of our failures, but of God's victory over sin, of his grace and his mercy towards us, and of his provision in our lives. Remember, when God forgives sin, he forgives it all. And the scars that remain are not to remind us of our failures, but of God's victory over sin, of his grace and his mercy towards us, and of his provision in our lives. And remember this too. God doesn't give us scars to remind us that we have been hurt. God gives us scars to remind us that we have been healed, we've been delivered, and we've been set free. We have been set free. We have been delivered. And thank you, God, again for the scars. Although Paul endured attacks upon his ministry, he reminded those involved, especially those in the Galatian church, his scars prove that he belonged to Yeshua. And thank God again for our scars. They may look ugly to some, but to me, they are beautiful. I want to close with this. I call this The Scars in Life. It's an alligator story. Some years ago, on a hot summer day in South Florida, a little boy decided to go for a swim in the old swimming hole that was behind his house. And in a hurry to dive into the cool water, he ran out to the back door, leaving behind shoes, socks, and shirt. He flew into the water, not realizing that he swam toward the middle of the lake. An alligator was swimming toward the shore. In the house, his mother was looking outside the window, and she saw the two as they got closer and closer together. In utter fear, she ran toward the water, yelling to her son as loudly as she could. Hearing her voice, the little boy alarmed and made a U-turn to swim to his mother. But it was too late. Just as he reached her, the alligator reached him. And from the dock, the mother grabbed her little boy by the arms, just as the alligator snatched his legs. That began an incredible tug of war between the two. The alligator was much stronger than the mother, but the mother was too passionate to let go. A farmer happened to drive by and heard her screams, and he raced from his truck and took aim and shot the alligator. Remarkably, after weeks in the hospital, the little boy survived. His legs were extremely scarred by the vicious attack of the large reptile. On his arms, there were deep scratches where his mother's fingernails dug into his flesh in her effort to hang on to the son she loved. A newspaper reporter who interviewed the boy after the trauma asked the little boy if he would show him his scars. The boy lifted up his pants. Then, with obvious pride, he said to the reporter, "But look at my arms. I have great scars on my arms too. I have them because my mother would not let go." You and I can identify with that little boy. We have scars too. No, not from an alligator, but the scars of a painful life. And from our experiences with the world, the flesh and the devil, some of those scars are unsightly. And some of them have caused us deep regret and pain to those whom we love. But some wounds are because God has refused to let go. Some of those wounds are because God has refused to let go. In the midst of our struggles, he's been there. He's been there holding us on. He's holding us. The scripture teaches us that God loves us. Each one of us is a child of God. He wants to protect us. He wants to provide for us in every way. But sometimes we foolishly wade into the dangerous situations, not knowing what lies ahead. The swimming hole of life is filled with peril, and we forgot that the enemy is waiting to attack. And that is when the tug of war begins. If you have scars of his love on your arms, be very, very grateful. He will never let you go. He will never let you go. Yeshua will never let you go. Our job is to walk with them, to be aware of the alligators coming after us, our loved ones and the people of the Lord who brings in our path. He wants us to hold on. He wants us to be a witness to Yeshua, to confirm his truth, his mercy, and his love, so that God will prevail in all of our lives. God has blessed us that we can be a blessing to other people. You never know where a person will come into your life and what they're going through. We should never judge another person's scars because we don't know how they got them. Right now, someone around you needs to know that God loves him and that you love him too. Enough not to let go. I've had many people in my life say, "Oh, Marvin, you need to give up on that person." I can't because God has not let go of me. I'm not going to give someone up. I have to stand with them. I have to lift them up. I have to be there for one another. They're not a castaway. God loves them, and therefore I love them. No matter how many times they irritate me, no matter how many times they annoy me, God wants me to hold on to them, believe the best for them, and encourage them. So I encourage you today to look to Yeshua upon his scars. These scars were meant for you, for God so loved you. God loves you with an everlasting love. today, whatever you're going through, whatever the pain, whatever the scars, perhaps some of you here today do not know Yeshua, Jesus, in a personal way. You know of him, but you never tasted of him. Today is your day to receive him. Today is your day of deliverance. Perhaps there's a physical problem in your body. I'm believing God to touch you, to deliver you, to set you free by the power of his Ruach HaKodesh, by the power of his Holy Spirit. Praise God, he's here today. He loves you. He's not giving up on you. And I'm not giving up on you either. And I'm glad that you're here today. And I'm glad for all of you here in Zoom world. We're here for you. We're standing together. I need you and you need me. We need one another. Yes, I can be annoying. I can. I have to admit it. I have one fault. I'm annoying. But praise God, he loves me. And look through my annoyance and look that God loves me like he loves you. Again, we need one another. So today, whatever your need is, God is here to touch you. His Ruach HaKodesh is here today to touch you, to deliver you, to set you free. Oh, to fill you with his Ruach HaKodesh. Oh, that you may have utterance before the Lord. You know, as I read my Bible, I find out that, you know, that the Apostle Shaul, Paul, that he was from the south. And the reason why I know that, because he said, I thank my God that I speak in other tongues more than y'all. You know, praise God. Today is your day that you can become like Rabbi Shaul, Rabbi Paul. You can speak in a heavenly language. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I love the new wine. That new wine, hallelujah, is wonderful. I am complete. I have no desire for the world's wine. God's wine is wonderful. Praise the Lord. Lord Yeshua, I come before you today. Lord, whatever the need, whatever the scars, you hold on to us and we're holding on to you. We're not going to give up. Oh, Lord, we're going to go forward. No matter what trial or tribulation that we go through, we're holding on. And Lord, I do believe that today is a day of deliverance. Today is a day of freedom. Today is a day of joy. Today is a day of dancing before you. Today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it and not be sad in it. Lord, I pray right now that you would touch your people. I believe the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is tugging at your heart. I believe he's wooing you unto him. Now, I know those of you up that are watching Zoom, you can't come forward over here. You can't walk up, but perhaps spiritually you can. And allow the Lord to touch you. Whatever it is, surrender all to him today. Whatever pain, whatever hurt, whatever scar, just give it to him. God wants to touch you right where you are. And for those of you that are here today, I believe God wants to touch you too. He wants you to be delivered and set free. So whatever your need is here today, come forward. We want to pray for you. That's the reason why we're here today, that you would sense his love, the love of Yeshua the Messiah. He's here today. And again, if you've never received the Lord, you've never repented of your sins, and perhaps you just know of him. Today, I guarantee that you will know him in a personal way. And I ask that in Yeshua's name. Amen.